Good morning, my name's Daniel, and we're going to spend a few moments just reflecting on both the Lazarus reading and that reading we just had there. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that Jesus is risen, and we ask now as we look at your word that you will help us to believe it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Is there life after death? Lots of people today say no. They say there is no life after death. This life is all we have, and so therefore we need to make the most of it. Live in the moment. Evolutionary theory kind of demands that we think like this. We're just part of a cycle. You're born, you live, you die. End of story. You might be surprised to hear that this view is not new. Epicurus, who lived 300 years before Jesus, said it like this. He said, "Death does not concern us, because as long as we exist, death is not here, and when it does come, we no longer exist." And that's one view. There's another view where people are just a little unsure. Like Robert Heinlein, a science fiction writer in the last century, he writes, "There is no conclusive evidence of life after death, but there is no evidence of any sort against it. Soon you will know, so why fret about it?" He's really just sitting on the fence there. Then there are views like reincarnation, or when you die, you become part of the energy of the universe. There's the Shrek and Donkey version. You know the scene where Shrek's looking up at the stars and he points to the stars and they're each a member of his family. Or there's the Lion King version where Mufasa appears to Simba from the dead and gives him wisdom. At a pivotal moment in the movie. Well, the Christian view of life after death is distinctly different from all of these. And so on a day like today in the 21st century, what makes Christians so sure about life after death that we have a whole day in the calendar to celebrate it? Well, the answer is Jesus. And that's what we're going to look at now as we open the Gospel of John. It'd be good if you've got the Bibles there to have them open at John chapter 11. And in the Gospel of John, Jesus has been doing what John calls signs. They're supernatural events that Jesus does, like turning water into wine, walking on water, feeding 5,000 with a few loaves of bread and a couple of fish, healing the lame, giving sight to the blind. These signs point to Jesus, who he is and what he came to do, and to his glory. And what we look at in the story of Lazarus is actually Jesus' last officially recorded sign. And what we'll see is that because Jesus is able to raise Lazarus from death, that it will give us confidence that there is life after death, and that we can have life after death. And so there are two points we're going to look at this morning: who Jesus says he is, and the second one is evidence of who Jesus says he is. So who does Jesus say he is? Well, we need to understand the scene in John chapter 11. Jesus is going to meet with a mourning family, mourning friends, because Lazarus has just died. It's like Jesus is going to a funeral. There is sadness and tears and hugs and kind words. There is grief, lots of grief. And Jesus himself is included in feeling this sadness. It's in this part of the Bible we see the words, "Jesus wept." We read that he was troubled. And we need to understand this so that we can really appreciate Jesus' words to Martha. Jesus' words are words that give hope in the midst of sadness. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you've been troubled or grieving and someone comes and speaks to you a word that just misses the mark. They either sound glib or they don't understand and they don't actually comfort you and they don't give you hope. Well, that's not Jesus's words. Now, what are Jesus's words? Well, Jesus meets Martha, his dear friend, who is grieving, and the conversation begins in verse 21. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. See, Martha knows Jesus' power. She's read the signs of Jesus correctly. She knows that Jesus is in relationship with God in verse 22. She knows that Jesus has the power to heal. And it's kind of like she's saying, Jesus, where were you? You could have stopped this. You could have fixed this. Lazarus doesn't need to be dead right now. But she's underestimated the power of Jesus and who he is. And it's then that Jesus speaks words of hope in verse 23. Your brother will rise again. Words that are to bring comfort. Now, Martha is a Jew. She believed in the resurrection from the dead, when on the day of God's judgment, everyone will rise. And in verse 24, we learn that that is what Martha thought Jesus was talking about. And so there is comfort in that general truth that God will raise people from dead, but that's not what Jesus is talking about. Jesus is talking about a more immediate resurrection. But Jesus doesn't just say, oh, Martha, watch and see, come, and go straight to the tomb and then bring Lazarus back from the dead. That's not what Jesus does. Jesus instead says, I am the resurrection and the life. Now, what is hidden from us here in our English translations of the Bible is that Jesus is actually using the words here to say that he is God. That is two words, I am. I am is the way that God spoke to Moses in the book of Exodus, when God said, I am who I am. Here in John, Jesus says, I am, which is a way of saying that he is God. It's not the first time in the Gospel of John he's used these words. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus is saying to his grieving friend Martha that he is the source of life, that he is the one that can bring out of death life, that he can raise the dead. Now, I need to know, are there any tea drinkers here this morning? There's a few tea drinkers. Now, I want you to imagine that you go to make a cup of tea. You boil the water. You pour the water into the cup. If you like milk and sugar, you go and you get the milk and you get the sugar. You pour it in and you leave it there for a little while. What's the problem with the way that I've just made my cup of tea? There's no tea bag. I've forgotten the source of the tea. See, if you're going to have a cup of tea, you need a tea bag or a tea leaf or something tea-flavoured at the very least to be the source of the tea. Well, Jesus is saying to Martha that he is the source of the resurrection. Without him, you don't defeat death. Without him, there is no life after death. On that last day, when we all face God, it is Jesus who will raise us from death. He is the resurrection and the life. And that's why Jesus is able to say that if you believe in him, you will live, even though you die. And that if you believe in him, you will never die. See, Jesus knows everyone is destined to die. It's a result of sin in the world. Our sin is what happens when humanity turns away from God. When we of our own choice ignore God and fail to give God the glory that he is due. And the judgment from God for that sin is death. And so we all die. And then there is a second death that Jesus speaks about, where we will be judged by God, separated from him forever. But Jesus says here that if you believe in him, you will never die. You'll have eternal life, life where death is beaten, life where sin is forgiven, where eternal life is promised. And if you believe in Jesus now, you can have that life. And so Jesus asks a really good question. He says, do you believe this? And that is the question, isn't it? It's not about what you believe about life after death. It's about whether you recognize that Jesus is God, the source of life, the resurrection and the life. Now, Martha, she is all in. She believes in Jesus. Verse 27, yes, Lord, she replied, I believe that you are the Messiah, which is just a an old word for anointed king, the Son of God who is to come into the world. She recognizes who Jesus really is. Do you believe Jesus? Do you believe that Jesus has the power over life and death and offers you eternal life? Well, that's what Jesus says, and that's who Jesus says he is. Let's now have a look at two evidences of who Jesus says he is. Evidence number one, Jesus raises Lazarus to life. Jesus told Martha Lazarus was going to be raised, and then we see it happen. Now, one question that always comes up when we're talking about Jesus raising Lazarus is, why does Jesus weep when he knows that he's going to raise Lazarus back to life? Well, it's because death is an unnatural result of us turning away from God. It's a result of God's judgment. And Jesus weeping shows his humanity, his love for Lazarus. He knows the sadness and grief of death, the sadness and grief of sin in our world. And it also shows us that Jesus was not aloof. He wasn't like my accounting lecturer at uni who came, who didn't look at us, spoke for an hour at 1.5 speed. This was before Audible. And then left. He wasn't connected. He was aloof. That is not Jesus. Jesus is connected. He's on the same emotional wavelength as those mourning. He is grieving death, grieving sin, grieving Lazarus. But then Jesus shows us the glory and power of God. Jesus goes to the tomb of Lazarus, and we're told again in verse 38, Jesus was deeply moved. In verse 39, he asks that the stone be rolled away. And Martha, the ever practical person, suggests that that actually might not be such a good idea because it's going to smell. But Jesus is persistent. He says in verse 40, did I not tell you that if you believe, you'll see the glory of God? The stone is moved away. And Jesus prays to his heavenly Father, and then in a loud voice, verse 43, Jesus says, Lazarus, come out. And he does. Alive. I quite like verse 44. It says, the dead man came out. But he wasn't dead anymore. Jesus had breathed the breath of life back into him. The cloth and the strips of linen that he was wearing had to be taken off. The tomb was empty and Lazarus was alive. What a sign, what a miracle. What evidence of who Jesus is. He is the resurrection and the life. So that's evidence number one. Evidence number two for Jesus being who he says he is. His own resurrection. Turn now to John chapter 20. And what we see here is another empty tomb. We see more grave clothes that are not needed, head clothes that are now unnecessary, and another person who should be dead, but isn't, Jesus. And what we have here is it's actually another scene where people are mourning. Jesus has been killed by the crucifixion, buried in a cave. And it's the third day, where Friday is day one, Saturday is day two, and Sunday is day three. And Mary comes to visit the grave in her sadness, in her grief. And she gets there and she finds that the stone has already been removed. It's already been rolled away. And so she runs and she goes and tells the disciples, Peter, and the one who Jesus loves, it's probably John. And she says, Jesus is not in the tomb. Now, this is startling news. This is unexpected for the disciples. And so the disciples themselves, they run to the tomb. They're racing each other. John gets there first, but he just stops at the entrance. And then Peter. Peter just keeps running. He gets into the tomb. And what does he see? Well, he sees the headcloth. He sees the linen. He doesn't see Jesus. Now, you would expect if Jesus' body was taken, the linen and the head cloth would also have been taken. They were valuable, but they were left there folded neatly. But there was no Jesus. The tomb was empty. Jesus had risen. Later in John chapter 20, Jesus appears to Mary. Then he appears to the disciples, very much alive. And this is not surprising if Jesus' claim that he is the resurrection and the life is true. The one who died came back to life. But there's a big difference between the way that Lazarus came back to life and the way Jesus came back to life. Because the way that Lazarus came back to life, he came back to life in a way that he would die again. But the way that Jesus came back to life is he came back to life in a way that he would never die again. Because in coming back to life, Jesus defeated death once and for all. Jesus has ascended into heaven with God. He's now seated at God's right hand forever. He will never die again. And it means that if we believe in Jesus, we too can live like Jesus lives. Really live with sins forgiven and not die. And so what we see here are two pieces of evidence for what Jesus is saying about himself being true. He is the resurrection and the life. So on a day like today, what makes Christians so sure about life after death that we have a whole day in the calendar that we celebrate it? The answer is Jesus. He is the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? If you're unsure, if you're here today and you're unsure, you're sitting on the fence, can I encourage you to look at Jesus' life? You will see the evidence stacks up. Read the gospel of, well, one of the gospels of Jesus. We've got free copies of the Gospel of Luke on the table there. Please take one. The Hope Explored course looks at the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Come and be a part of that. It's an opportunity to come and ask questions. I think there are lots of people who are a little bit like the apostle Thomas. But in the Gospel of John, we kind of he gets the name Doubting Thomas. Because when Jesus came back to life, it's like, oh, I'm not going to believe it until my hands have touched his wounds on his hands and on his side. And then he sees the resurrected Jesus and he cries out, my Lord and my God. Seek out the evidence. It's the best decision that you could ever make to follow Jesus, to believe in him, to have life. Because when we believe in Jesus, it gives us lots of things, but I'm just going to highlight two. It gives us hope. Hope of eternal life. Hope of life after death. Forever. Like we've never known or experienced. We will truly live. It's not a, I hope my football team is going to win this year kind of hope. That may or may not be the case. But it's a certain hope. A hope that won't disappoint. The second thing this hope means is that we don't need to fear death. The fear of death holds no sway over those who believe in Jesus. When we hope in Jesus, as Abby was saying in her testimony earlier, our future is sure. We don't have to worry about it because we will rise again. We will be with Jesus. And even though we die, we will live. We will be saved from the judgment of God if we believe in Jesus and our sin forever. Do you believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? I want to finish by telling two very short stories. The first story is of Lester. Lester's final words when he was on his deathbed. He'd lived his life as an alcoholic, and he was there, and he pulled the oxygen mask away from his face, struggling to breathe. He looked at the nurse and said with despair, "What happened to my life?" And then he passed away. The second story is a few years back, a friend of mine named Diana, she was looking forward. She was looking forward to being with Jesus. Towards the end of her life, she got cancer. And the last time I went and visited her, Diana was not looking back, regretting life. But she was looking forward so much to being with Jesus in eternal life. She had life because she believed that Jesus was the resurrection and the life. Life is short. Death will come. And God gives us, through Jesus, a chance to have that life now. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And so I come back to that very first question. Is there life after death? Yes. If we believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that Jesus is risen, that he is alive, that he has the power over death and the power over our death and the power to bring us to life. And we thank you so much for that. And we ask, Lord, that you'll help us this morning to believe with confidence that Jesus is alive and that we can be alive when we believe in him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.